Convincing evidence. We would like to welcome you to this new radio program from the church in Toledo. Convincing evidence. The name of this program is taken from the King James Version Bible. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The Greek word evidence rendered may also be translated conviction or proof. The word itself implies action. It is a convincing evidence. Hebrews 11 is a chapter on faith with its history. From God's creation through all the generations of God's chosen people to all the New Testament believers consummating with the New Jerusalem in eternity, to prove that faith is the unique pathway for God's seekers to receive His promise and take His way. Today, we are aiming at the Holy of Holies in our spirit and the New Jerusalem in the coming dispensation, neither of which can be seen by eyes. Nevertheless, we have the full conviction, this convincing evidence of these unseen things. Therefore, it is the evidence, the proof of things to come. The purpose of each lesson heard on this program is to come to that convincing evidence. We would like it the assurance, confidence, confirmation, reality, essence, and the supporting ground of the divine revelations. We encourage you to listen and follow along your Bible and ask yourself, what is the convincing evidence? We hope you will enjoy this way of understanding the normal Christian's walk with us. Now, let us begin with the program by opening our hearts to the Lord as we listen. Good evening. Welcome to our program on the air tonight. We are starting a new topic in this season of broadcasting. We are happy to be with you. My name is Paul Robusciano. With me tonight in the studio on the mixing board is Brother Tony Chang. If your Bible is handy, we ask you to open up and enjoy our program. We will come to today's topic, the view of things and people in our serving, part 2. To be able to stay in the church life, we face this fundamental understanding of coming together as the church, as the body of Christ, as the kingdom living on the earth. If we are equipped by this one new man in view, we will be so free. We will be brought into a stage that nothing will hinder us. Nothing. However, it is just a matter of time before we start confronting the differences with others, look at differences more than the things we have in common. So, that's the issue, because we don't have this universal man in view. We don't know that the church life is not just an assembly. It is not just a family or community. The church life is the body of Christ. The body of Christ referring to the person. The highest or most intrinsic view of the church is the one new man. In this one new man, which is in Acts 13, we don't see culture, personality, or social status. We don't see the function differences. There is a harmony between Barnabas and Paul. There is a harmony between Niger, Lucius, and Monin. Culture, race, nationality, language, age, gender, none of these can be a frustration to the church life. What a mature stage that is, from the principle or pattern of the church in Antioch. It is the Lord's progressing on or developing something from the pattern of the church in Jerusalem, unto where He desires to see it. If you read Ephesians, there is a desire hidden in the Father. There is an internal pleasure that needs to be manifested, and now the church finally reaches the stage of this personified living. In that living entity we find the headship. Today, the entire universe is falling apart. The natural environment is always changing. It is not just global warming. It is the degradation from human rebellion in all the universe. Even in physics, the universe actually, fundamentally is being torn apart. This includes everything. There will be nothing left. Ultimate deterioration, then we will see more. Be aware and diligent. Be vigilant and sensitive. We need to understand that we are not just going to a place to be confused, going to a place without sight and vision. It's a place where we know everything has happened before. There is a book that has already been given to us. Everything has been told to us by the Bible. However, we don't need to be superstitious. We don't need to try and interpret the Bible in that way or to panic. Yet, we need to be equipped and to be strengthened. To be able to have a way to handle our life first. How can we not handle our life properly first? If you cannot even handle your family, how can you handle the crises which are about to happen? This will be a big deal. There will be a lot of things beyond our imagination. Things happen, so all of this we have to know first. It's not that those things just happen, it is because we are fallen. There is a force against this cohering power. God wants to put us into Him. Man tried to rebel against Him, and this is exactly what happens in the church life too. When we are all united, we start looking for the differences. We have this change coming upon us, a change we do not desire to have. Trust me, I want to be comfortable. We would like to stay cool. Cool with our buds. Today, we look back, and we say, Lord, I thank You for all these crises that happen for gaining and strengthening my heart. Thanks for purifying my heart, understanding that all these things happen in time, in between two eternities. It is for man to be gained by all these events in time. The Lord does things for gaining people. Not just gaining a sloppy people, but gaining a group of people who are suitable, proper enough for building, and to be built up. That's the internal view of the church life. In our labor, our service, our going on, two major things lay right before our eyes. Things and people in the church. Now do we understand? Are we doing things only to be doing things, or are we doing things for producing proper materials? And if that is the view, then people need to be transformed. We know exactly what the Lord is dealing with, so don't be stumbled. Unless our heart isn't pure, or is not straight, set and fixed on the Lord. When we come into the church life, we should not look at man. We should only look at God. Also, don't look for a position. If we look for man's approval, that's another indicator that we are looking for a position. We should say we are disappointed, or that we are stumbled. Our heart will never be stumbled if our heart is pure. Looking into the light, we will see clearly that everything the Lord does is not to produce a successful business. The Lord is not a businessman. He does everything for a purpose, for His own building to be built. That's why He created all these things. Works and crises, in between two eternities, when things can be done in time. That is the strategy of gaining this fallen man. The church life is very much for this. If we are close and coordinated with the Lord, with God's eternal purpose in view, you will have a wonderful church life. Having a clear vision, with power and the feeling that this life is so glorious. Everything will be done without stumbling, because there is no need to be stumbled. But, there is still a great deal of me that needs to be prepared, or dealt with. Where's your heart? Where is your heart? With this view, we will handle our family, our education, and our career properly. We will see a lot of things we could never see in the past. Then when we go out, in whatever we do, we can dance, be singing and be joyful. The heaven is open to us. Our air is so fresh and our sky is so blue. Yes, all of those things. But don't lose sight. While understanding all things, we won't be bothered. Receive the people practice the worship differently from us. Why can we not move our body? Why do we have to be frozen like something that has been condemned? We need to transcend. Even when we move our body, We move it spiritually. We don't move it provocatively, because that is fleshly. We can move, because we are not bound by those things. We also can be so still and tranquil in the Lord, unless we are willing to be bound, there is no law. Let's go to Ephesians 2:14, 15. For he himself is our peace, he who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, the enmity, abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, so making peace. So, what's the peace among us? The peace here is much more than only between us and God. It is a transcendent freedom in our church life. In this we see a lot. In that era, when Paul wrote these epistles, the era was very Jewish and Gentile. God used the two to represent something. Our recent understanding is that the Jews represent something from the old. From the old doesn't mean that they are wrong or bad, it just means that they are old. The nature is old. The Jews represent something from the old. And the Gentiles represent something out of the box, out of something not traditional. However, either way can become ordinances. Today, we try to make outward decrees, ordinances and laws to bind one another, even in a very contemporary way. That is why we often look at each other in this regard. If, for example, some don't play contemporary music instruments, then others see that as an ordinance. Some don't play classical music instruments, then others see that as an ordinance. We are bound by our own view. We can be very much bothered by the so-called out-of-box things or whatever is out of bondage. However, we shouldn't lose either way. It's not about that, it's about the Lord. We must not view things in the new and old, or right and wrong aspect. Either way, we have our own way to interpret things. The Lord breaks down the two and makes both one. This has become very interesting recently in our reading, abolishing in his flesh. God never created the one new man in his flesh. Yet, in his flesh he abolishes the ordinances. What are those ordinances today? They are the style of worship, the style of prayer, a view of the church life. All the things that we think need to be done according to our way, not according to God's way. We can be accused by others by not doing things according to their view. But that is fine, we are not bound by that. It's not about the way we do things. It is in the flesh, and is flesh. In such a physical flesh, the ordinances are not an issue. Do you see this? Our problem today is if we confront something not according to our view, right away the ordinances become an imprisonment. Become our bondage, locking our freedom within. Yet, Paul was so free. The reason he can be so free is because he knew the nature of the cross. What is the accomplishment all about? The first accomplishment of the Lord in his earthen ministry is in his flesh. He abolished all kinds of ordinances. He became a free man, in the Spirit. A free man. When the Lord went to Matthew, he opened his house to him. Matthew had all kinds of low-life friends. Friends that most likely took part in drinking, gambling, dirty language, and so on. The Lord mingled himself with those people. And in our eyes, we think, wow, the Lord is so not right. How can we think this? It is because we are so clean. We are so clean to a point, we cannot afford to see the Lord become friends with those unclean people. So, we start to help the Lord. Lord, how dare you? Don't you know you are touching something unclean? Even though we might not speak to God in this way, it is the condition of our heart. Do you see this? Either way, when our heart is not pure, when our heart is not straight, we won't see God. Blessed are the people pure in heart, for they shall see God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The difficulty in our practice is that we are limited by the flesh. We feel that we cannot eat with sinful people because we just feel that they are dirty. We just feel uncomfortable. Sorry, it's just ordinances. Deep down in our blood, in our concepts, we cannot go out that free. When the Lord abolished this almost unbreakable wall which is called enmity, the enmity that lay between fallen humans, is just unbreakable. Yet, the achievement is not done by our flesh. It is in His flesh. Even if we think we can do it, our flesh and nature is still fallen. It's not divine, yet the Lord has a being, an earthen being, fleshly being, yet it is not sinful. Only because He can do that are we able to do it. When we say we are in Him, pay attention to the phrase, when He said He might create two in Himself into one new man. He never said, I create one new man by myself. He was saying He creates this one new man in Himself. It is the realm, and Himself. In Christ. In Christ, the one new man is created. So, we cannot say, okay, I receive that because I am receiving it. We cannot say that we receive someone because we are able to receive them, or that we can abolish the law through our flesh. No, we can't. We will confront another limitation. But, when we hide in Him, when we are in Him, we find that one new man. It is doubtful that Barnabas got along with Paul from the very beginning. It is so hard to believe, but they had this one new man church life. Very personified in him was this one new man created. That's the church life in Antioch. It's very much in the realm of Himself. We should notice two things in His flesh. The ordinances were abolished, then in Himself, the one new man was created. The flesh is the realm in which we always confront these ordinances. Through His living on the earth, we are able to abolish the same ordinances, either from the old or from something out of the box. Ordinances of our day. When we go out to meet people, we should not dance in the way that they dance. We should dance in the way we're supposed to dance, spiritually. This is something that's not about them, it's about the Lord. Everything is about the Lord, it's not about us. That's the secret of the point of view of our churching. Don't lose sight. We come to this point, laying a lot of foundation, a lot of verses, and of concepts. This view is not that hard to grasp or hold onto, it's easy. Now we have a view on how we see things and people. Also, on our view of laboring. The secret of being revitalized is going out to meet people. That's the secret for our serving. We can still be very much energized, because we have someone needing food. We need to make sure we live well, and provide the spiritual milk to others. That gives ourselves a lot of strength to survive through the coming crises. And this is the secret of going out. When we go out with a view. It is Him, it's not us. It is the Lord that abolished something that we cannot do. We will not be stumbled in whatever we do. But, we will be very much stumbled when we do certain things and are not limited or controlled by the vision. However, we should never go out without preparation, going out to meet without a view. We always need to be controlled and governed by this very crucial principle of our coming together, then our going out in time and in space. People will observe us, and will honor this. When we go out to help other people, it's the same way. We should not just be doing things. Don't just go out to meet people to meeting people. That's not our view. We have to know where we should go, by the Lord's leading, and that is our service together. This is our view, trusting this point of view, of man and the things in the church life, and our serving. We are very burdened to move on. Our church life needs to change. It's time, and the bottom line is that we will suffer for a short period of time, not knowing what to do. That is fine, be restful. We don't have to be busy working, thinking a leading brother asks us to go out, so we have to go out. No, we are doing okay, staying home, if we feel the Lord's leading to stay home. Doing nothing is fine, but in time we will be sent out. We will be separated by Him. We have to learn this, and in the meantime we have to have enough time for the Lord to do something. We have to give the Lord time, Lord, this is my time and space, Lord, Now I don't have a busy schedule for doing things. Now, Lord, you show me how, and we will find that secret of living. A leading brother will not be bothering our life for a little while. We will have the freedom to do nothing. The point is not doing nothing or doing something. The point is we need to be led by the Lord in our daily life. The meeting will come to us. It's too easy to let the meetings lead us in our daily life and not the Lord. We think we are doing the Lord's will by going to the meetings, but are we? For 20 centuries, believers were driven by the meetings, not by functions, which is their living. Their organic functions in the body were replaced by those professionals. And that gave the enemy great chance to attack the weaker member easily. We need a builded church. A healthy body with all the functioning members. Paul says in Colossians 2:19, holding the head, out from whom, all the body, pay attention to all the body. It is all the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God. Today, we have come to the age of the divine organism, which is the organic body of Christ. It is all the body, each member of the body should be functioning. All the so-called spiritual giants need to be functioning as the members for the sake of the body. This is all from the Lord, having mercy on us. In a few years, when we look back on this time, we will know how much we are advancing. This is amazing that this is happening, and nobody will be driven by duty. It's not about that. As in the past, if we do a work, we are going to kill ourselves. Instead, we will feel the freedom. We don't need a boss to tell us what to do. We have this one new man. This is the freedom of our church life. But in the meantime, we have all kinds of unscheduled meetings. Stating again, it isn't about canceling all our meetings. It is about canceling the concept of the meetings, not canceling the reality of the meeting. It's about the concept of coming together to have a meeting. When we are able to move on without the concept of the meeting, we will find the true freedom of the meeting. Human living is all about meeting. Eating is a meeting. Enjoying the Lord is a meeting. Everything is about meeting. However, meeting is not for meeting. Meeting needs to be set aside for the Lord. It is God's ecclesia, His called out assembly. Our meeting has to be God's testimony. Let's move on. May we have ears to hear.
For more information, please contact us at www.thechurchintoledo.org. Thank you for listening, and please visit our web forum, local church message board, and online discussion site. Turn in again next week as we continue our Bible study and discussion of the topic, On the Convincing Evidence, a radio ministry of the Church in Toledo. If you enjoyed the program tonight, we will like to hear from you for questions, further discussion, or simply fellowship. Our line is now open at 419-843-5042 again. 419-843-5042. We meet as believers from house to house, day by day. As Christ is our life, church is our living. Thank you and see you soon.